We thought we might need a break from you all, so we took it. No, it's good to be back amongst you all. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the word today. Lord Jesus, today you've been highlighting your faithfulness and the power of your promises. And Lord, as we explore this subject further, I pray, Lord, that you will open eyes and hearts so that there's an understanding of how you work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, it was clear that as we were worshipping, that the Lord was really just highlighting the faithful you are and all your promises are yes and amen. There was just something on that for this season. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at that, the process. So you've got the promise of God. How does it turn into fruit? Yeah? The process of taking the promise of God and seeing it through so you see the results that you're looking for. Now, to a certain extent, I will have spoken about aspects of this before, but I've never put it all together before in the same way. And plus, I have this feeling, every time I do a course, I do a recap at the beginning. And you know what? Everybody remembers one point from the previous session. Just one point, if I'm lucky. And so I know that I'm repeating myself, but I know that most of you will not have got it. So that's fine. With that in mind, if you have heard it before or bits of it before, bear with me. There will be plenty that you have not heard. Thank you very much indeed. This is what I aim to do today. I aim that by the end of this session, you will understand the process of faith. You will know where you are in that process of faith, and you'll know where you need to go, okay? Because faith has a process. Secondly, you will understand how to turn revelation, the promises that are revealed to you, into fruit in your life, okay? You'll understand how to do that. And also, as an extra, you'll also understand what kingdom teaching is, and if you are anybody involved in teaching, whether it be teaching your children, whether it be teaching others around you, whether it be an official teaching role, you will understand what kingdom teaching is and how you can do it in your own life. So that's the aims for this session. Three fairly large aims, so it will require some attention on your part, but I will try and keep it as entertaining as possible. Now, we all know that faith comes by hearing. Good. Good. Pastor Rick's point has got through very well. He gets his point through better than I do. So faith comes by hearing. That is that when you hear the spoken word of God that's living, when you hear the living spoken word of God, faith begins to arise in you. This process of hearing the living word of God is called revelation, where something of the Spirit of God is revealed to you. And when that happens, faith arises. But there is a process. There is a process where your revelation that you receive of the living word of God ignites something in your heart that triggers faith, because faith comes by hearing. Yet there is a process that you need to understand that goes from the hearing of the living word of God and turns into fruit. And unless you understand this process, you will lose your fruit, because you will be discouraged, or you will not understand what's going on, and you'll feel like it's all going to pot. Okay, so there is a process that you need to understand. So revelation itself, the receiving of the living word of God, gives rise to faith, and that the process then goes ahead before you see your miracle or the results or the fruit of that faith. Is that fairly clear as a concept? Yeah? Okay. Two parables, which both in the same chapter of Mark, which deal with the processes of faith. And there are two separate processes, okay? But let's go read the two passages first, and then we will talk about the two different processes. So, listen. That's a good start. Listen. Jesus had to tell people to listen to it. It cheers me up. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Okay, Jesus explains this parable in the next chunk, okay? So this is one of the only parables, I think it's maybe the only parable that Jesus explains. And the reason he explains it is because this one is critical to your understanding of everything. I don't know of him explaining any other parable because this one is critical. If you get this, then your life of faith will be a lot easier. Okay? So that's the first parable we're going to look at. A little bit further, after he's given an explanation, he gives a second parable. Okay? Very similar parable, but different. So, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel and the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Okay? Two parables, both about sowing seeds. One is about what happens to that seed, and the other one is about what happens when it grows. So far, so good? The two parables are designed to do different things. The parable of the sower, that's your first parable, where the sower sows seed and there are different soils it lands on. That is a parable which describes the challenges of faith. Okay? Whenever you receive a revelation, there will be challenges to your faith. That is part of the process of faith. Understanding that is critical. Otherwise, you'll lose what you've got in the first place. The second one, which I call the parable of the seeds, is the one about a seed that grows, is all about the process of faith, how faith grows. So you've got the challenges of faith on the one hand with the first parable, and then you've got on the second one, the process of faith. What happens? How does faith grow? Okay? So far, so good? They both have common themes, and they both have common imagery. Okay? So in both parables, the seed represents the word of God. Okay? Or in other words, it's the Greek word is sperma, which from what we get our word sperm, which means it carries with it the ability to reproduce itself. Okay? It's like a living thing that carries with it the ability to reproduce itself. And in both parables, we still have the seed representing the word of God. Okay? The promise of God, the freshly spoken word that ignites us. In both cases, the soil is your heart. Okay? It's the heart of a person who receives the word. So in both cases, the soil is your heart. Both start at the same place with a revelation of the word of God. Okay? And both processes are going on at the same time. So your process of growing faith and your process of challenges of faith are both going on at the same time. They're like railroads that are both chugging along at the same time. But both describe something different and something important. They both start with revelation. What is revelation? Well, revelation is best described as to lift the veil off something. Okay? So we have a sports car here, which is veiled. It is under wraps. Revelation would be to lift that wrap off it so you can see the Ferrari underneath, the brand new Ferrari. And you go, wow, it's a Ferrari. Or otherwise you go, you can't drive that fast in these roads. Or whatever, whichever place you're in. But that is what revelation is, to lift the veil of something, to make clear what was hidden. Okay? And that is what happens when you read his word and something ignites within you. I want to make this clear. This is what revelation is. Okay? It's not just revelation when you hear something and go, oh, that sounds all right, yeah. No, it's when the Holy Spirit has highlighted something to you, and it's usually it brings it alive to you. Suddenly something jumps within you and you go, wow, there's something on that word. I don't know what it is, but there is something on that word. Okay? That is what revelation is, where the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and says, this is important. And you may not be able to explain it. You may not be explaining it for years, but you know there's something important about that word. Have you all read your Bible and had that happen? Okay? At one point or another. If not, then I just want you just to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, reveal things to me that I may know your heart. Okay? Because this is the starting point of faith. It's not just the fact I've read in the Bible it says that by his stripes we're healed. No, it's when that word becomes alive in you. That is the Holy Spirit revealing to you what that word means. Okay? I can't drum up revelation. The Lord breathes on it and my spirit receives it. And it's really important to realize this. You can't just drum things up. The Lord is speaking, and when he reveals something to you, your spirit goes, woo, that's the Lord. And that's the starting point of this journey of faith. So taking the parable of the sower, this is the one where the seeds are thrown on different grounds, and depending on where they're thrown, different challenges arise. The first thing that happens is that, and this is where Jesus explains it. He says, anybody who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that's sown along the path. So the sower's throwing his seed out and some of it hits the path. The path represents a heart which doesn't understand what God has said. Okay. Let's just stop here for a second and pause. The way we understand understanding is understand it with our minds. Yeah? I mean, this is our educational system, okay? We understand it if we get the theory and we can explain it to somebody else in an intellectual way. Okay? This is our notion of understanding. So you can have a professor of business studies who is supposed to be an expert on business but has never run a business because he has an intellectual understanding of what business is, but he's never done it in practice. Okay? The Hebrew word for understand doesn't mean that. It means to understand by experience. Okay? It's not an intellectual understanding. So if God speaks, oh, I'm a bit, I don't feel like I've got it. No. That's not the point. What he's trying to say is that this is understanding by experience. And to be honest, it carries with it this notion that you experience it in your five senses. So like you can hear it, taste it, touch it, whatever. It's part of your everyday life. So when you get this revelation of the living word of God, the promise of God that comes to your life, the first thing you have to do is turn that revelation into an experience where you do what is being said. I'll give you an example. If you have a revelation of giving to the poor, okay? You have this revelation about the advantages, the blessings and the benefits of giving to the poor. The first thing you need to do is take some money and give it to the poor, okay? You need to put into experience that which has been spoken straight away, because that is what it means by understanding. It means you do it. Even if you may not fully understand it in your mind, you do it because you feel that's the thing that God is speaking on at this time. And the trouble is that if you do not do it straight away, then what happens is that you reach this point where you say, I entirely agree with that revelation that you should give to the poor, but it's not got any fruit in your life because you've never done it. And this is the very nature of what religion is. Religion is form without any power. Okay? I agree 100% we should give to the poor, but I never do it. Well, that's just a waste of time. And there are so many areas of our Christian walk where we will have a theory about something, but we've never put it into practice. And that means you're never going to see the fruit of that theory in your life. It is only those things that you understand, that you experience, that you get stuck into, that you'll ever see fruit on. So the first thing you have to do when you get that promise of God, that revelation of God, is do something about it. Find an opportunity. If you've got a revelation about praying for the sick, find a sick person. If you've got a revelation about family reconciliation, do whatever you feel the Lord is saying to do in that moment. Just do it. Because that will seal the word and mean that the enemy cannot take it. The enemy can take anything you do not experience. So I always say when I'm teaching, just put it into practice straight away. If you've got anything from this session, put it into practice straight away, because otherwise it'll get stolen. And I'll have a very pleasant conversation with you 2 months, 3 months down the line, where you say, oh yeah, I entirely agree with that. I might try it at some point. It's no good. It's been stolen. You'll never do it. Put it into practice straight away, whatever you receive. The second set of seeds fall on rocky ground. And Jesus says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. So you get it, you put it into practice, it's exciting, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. You were saying in relation to your exam results, you had this stress and this pressure, okay? You should expect persecution when you get a word. Okay? The Father of the universe has spoken a living word into your life that is going to radically change the way you live. Do you think the enemy would like you to have that word and run away with it? No. But what God does is he's careful. He gives you a word, and that word itself has the power to overcome the enemy. So we can see we've been looking at the Red Sea. So what does he do? He takes the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, okay? And he brings them to a sea. And he brings them to a sea which looks like it's the end of the road. And they're all going, why don't you just kill us in Egypt? Why don't you leave us there? It's all terrible. It's all your fault. You brought us out here to die. No, what the Lord was doing was he was actually bringing them so that they would destroy the enemy which was going to pursue them. It was the Red Sea that destroyed the Egyptian army when its waters fell in on the chariots and the men. It was that one thing which they thought was the trouble, the point of persecution, that God used to destroy it. And the Lord always gives you a word. And the word itself has the power to overcome the enemy in your situation. So what he does is he winds the enemy up and says, this person, he's got a word. And the enemy goes, right, I'm going after that word. I'm going to take it off them. But the Lord has already prepared you for what you need to do. And he's prepared you because the word itself is powerful to overcome the enemy's attack. So every time you get a word, you should expect that persecution will arise because of the word, that you will overcome because the word. It's part of the process. The trouble is if you don't realize it's part of the process of faith, you give up at this point. And there are people that give up, who receive this word, receive it, put it into experience, but give up because issues arise. I don't want you to be any of those people. The next stage that you're going to get is riches and worries. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Two things that can take your word away. So you've actually come through this process. You've received the revelation. You've put it into practice. You've survived the persecution. Two things erode it. First is riches. Okay? Riches means options. That's what riches means. Riches mean options. Rich people have more options than poor people. Okay? That is often why when we have miracles in Africa, they're far more widespread. They don't have the options we have. Okay? They're saying it's Jesus or nothing. Okay? We don't. We say, well, we might do the NHS. I might go to a private doctor. I might do this. I might do that. We have options. The nature of riches is it provides options, and options are not always good when you're focused in on one word, and that is his word. So riches can throw you off course. Be aware of your options and restrict them to the one option, and that is pursuing him. And then worries. Worries, worries, worries. Worries erode faith. They concentrate on the situation right here, right now, and they ignore the voice of faith, which says, no, the Lord is able. Worries concentrate on my ability to do things right here and right now, in the same way as riches do. But worry is the opposite. Worries looks at what I cannot do here and now, whereas riches looks at what options I can have here and now. And so worry just says, I don't know what to do, because there's nothing, nowhere to go. And riches says, there's many options, I will choose an option. Either one of those extremes destroys faith in your life. And if you give in to one of those two, you will lose the fruit you've been carrying that far. But there is a stage at the end. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, puts it into practice. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So the end of the process, the challenges of faith, is fruit. Okay? But there is a process. There are challenges. You've got to go through them. So some of you will be sitting here now and you'll go, actually, I am going through a process. I have a word from the Lord and I'm going through this process of faith. Okay? If that's you, understand where you are on those challenges and understand what to do. Okay? If you're in the persecution challenge, well, it's the word that you've been given that will overcome your persecution. If you're in the worries and the riches category, well, you know what to do there. Restrict your options to one, him. Okay? If you're in the category where I've got a word but I haven't done anything about it, do something about it. Put it into practice straight away. Okay? So this is what's going on. The first train track is this challenges of faith. You see that, you go through the challenges, you will see your fruit. But what Jesus then does is he explains in the other parable what is happening in terms of a process of faith. Because you might go, I'm not sure if I've got faith for this. I'm not sure if I've got faith for this process. I'm not sure if I've got faith for the challenges that are going to come my way in this word. Well, Jesus is providing an assurance here. He describes how faith grows. Okay? So as you're going through this process of challenge, faith is growing in you. Because once the seed is sown, the seed begins to grow. This is the second parable. And produces agreement with it. Okay? So all it needs is it needs a seed that you plant in your heart. And it is the combination of the living word of God and your heart that produces faith. So your challenges are going on, but as your challenges are going on, if you're keeping that word in your heart, faith is growing. Okay? You may not start with a massive mountain-shifting faith, but faith is growing the moment the word hits your heart. And providing you keep the word in your heart, it will slowly come into agreement with the word. You yourself will be persuaded by what the word says. The seed is mature when it looks like what was planted. So I take a wheat seed, I put it in the ground, I cover it over, and it grows. It is mature when I have a head of wheat seeds. Does that make sense? So what happens is the word replicates in your heart what has been planted. So if you've got a promise of provision, it is when your heart reflects that promise of provision so that you're absolutely assured of that provision that faith is mature in your life. And the moment you plant a seed in your heart, it will produce faith. Okay? Faith is nothing magic. Okay? It is simply the living word of God in your heart will produce faith. You don't know how, you don't know why, you don't understand the process, but this is Jesus' assurance. It will produce faith. See, while you're going through the challenges, faith is growing. While you're going through the issues, faith is growing. While you're going through the process, faith is growing. It just does it. You don't know why. A farmer doesn't know why. It just happens under the soil. It just happens. So whilst your challenges of faith are going on, the process of faith growing in your life is going on. But you reach a point where you have gone through the processes, you've gone through the challenge, and you have a maturity of faith in your life. That's not enough. What the parable says, you need to cut that fruit down. You need to put the sickle to the grain, cut the fruit down, and so that you can actually enjoy the mature fruit. When our hearts perfectly reflect the promise, then the grain is mature, but the next stage is to cut it down. What it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Okay? So that's your faith being mature. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Do you see the two elements going hand in hand? Your heart, you believe. That's your faith growing to maturity. It is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. You need to have an action that goes with your faith. You can have a full assurance of what God has done, but he wants you then to take an action that releases that faith in a public way. It might be that you sow a seed, public declaration of the faith you have. It might be that you make a declaration. It might be that you stop somebody and pray for them in the street. Either way, you are making that public declaration and you are cutting, as it were, and enjoying the full fruit of your faith. So these two processes are going on at the same time. You've got a challenge of faith whilst you've got faith that's growing. And there's going to come a point that you're going to get fruit. And in order to get fruit, you need to be thinking, I'm there. Let's make that declaration. Let's reach out to that person. Let's do this thing of faith to reflect what's going on in my heart. You don't want to be making declarations when you're not got mature faith. Okay? Don't make a declaration because it's macho to do. Okay? If a farmer goes to the field and cuts his grain down after it's only just shot through the ground, they'll just call him stupid because there's not a mature grain there. So when we are making our declarations, we make it in a fullness of faith. Yes, it's a risk. There's always a risk. That's what faith is about. But it's because you have that full assurance of what Jesus has said in your life. And so these two processes are going on at the same time. You've got this promise of the Lord. They're both going on at the same time. And they're both running as it's trains on different tracks, but going in the same direction at the same time. You've got the challenge of faith, which you've got to overcome. But you've got the promise of the growth of faith that's coming up. And all the same time, they're running at the same path at the same time. These two processes of faith. And you'll all know where you are in this process of faith, in whatever promise you've got. Because how do you know that you are in faith or not in faith? Well, if I were to try and persuade you that the sky is yellow, how successful would I be? Anybody going to be persuaded? No, because you know that you know that you know it's blue or some whitey-bluey colour, whatever it is. Yeah? But you know what this colour of the sky is. If I tried to persuade you it was a different colour, you wouldn't work. And that is when you know you're in faith. I try and tell you something else and you go, no, it's not. Obviously not. And that is what God is looking for in his faith walk with us. So let me summarise. Your faith journey starts with a revelation of his word. Okay? So you get something that comes alight in you, that revelation of his word. That is the start of your journey. Faith comes by hearing. That's the hearing he's on about. You will face challenges on your faith journey. But if you keep his word in your heart, you will develop the faith you need to overcome those challenges and to see fruit in your life. Now, one for the teachers. Teachers are those people who sow the word of God. So today, I've been sowing the word of God. Okay? I've been taking the word of God and I've been giving it to you. Where do I get my seed for sowing from? I receive a single word that comes alive for me. But if I go through that process of faith with that single word, I will see a fruit of 30, 60, 100-fold. I take that fruit, I process it for you, I make it easy for you to understand, and I throw it out. That's what kingdom teaching is. It's taking the fruit that has resulted as a result of a faith walk in my life and giving it to you. If you're a parent and you want to teach your children kingdom principles, start with what God has done for you. If you are teaching, take what God has done for you and distribute from that. Because that is where life is. That's where the word is. That's where the life is. It's on my experience. There's a good reason why Jesus says, by your testimony, word of your testimony. I.e. something you've had a test, you've had a moany about it, and you've come out the other end. Okay? That has power, because that's kingdom. And that's what God's on about. So this is just for teachers, those who want to teach. Make sure that your teaching is kingdom teaching. You're taking the fruit of what God has done in your life. Don't teach theory. Never teach theory, because it has no life on it. Always teach what you've experienced, and it's come through your life, and you're able then to process it, make it easy to understand. In the same way as you have to take heads of wheat and shake them and get wheat out and then throw it in the ground. In the same way, that's what you do as a teacher. You take the fruit, you process it, and you give it out. Right, I want to take a moment to pray for those who are in a process of faith. Okay? So if you have a word from the Lord that you have not seen come to pass yet, and you are in that process, I just want to pray for you. So stand up if you're there. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, for those standing here have got your word and they're running a race. And Lord, I just pray that the challenges that come as a result of that walk of faith will be passed with flying colors. And I just bless the challenges. Lord, I bless their process of faith, that will be as quick as it can be, and that the faith will grow within them. And Lord, I just break off any condemnation about they're not in the right place at the right time, the right place of faith. I just break that off, because faith is a process. And I just thank you for these people, and I bless their journey. And Lord, I thank you already for the testimonies of fruit that's going to flow from those standing here. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, you're all free to go.